Blog Talk Radio.
Nacho, are you available?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, I was rattling off, and I think I had to mute the whole time. So let me get everything started. Oh, wow. I apologize for City. I was running and didn't even hear anything. So, well, the caller number again is 929-477-2759, in which we have both of the games set for slate, the 4 o'clock and the 8:15 game, in which the Indianapolis Colts are going up against the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, and the Dallas Cowboys are taking their talents to Los Angeles up against the Los Angeles Rams. Interesting form is one of those situations where you don't want to see one team go, you want to see one stay. The Kansas City Chiefs being the top-ranked team in the AFC, and the Rams are the second-ranked team in the NFC. All the stars are aligned. Every scenario works. The first situation I wanted to jump into was the Indianapolis Colts going into Arrowhead, and Arrowhead has been one of the tougher places historically to go ahead and play in. But the crazy part about it is this is a playoff game, and I could just revisit a few years back. I want to say three to four years back. This was a matchup in the playoffs, but this took place in Indianapolis. And this was a situation where I looked at it on the other side of the coin. I am one of the chefs, I won't put any of this burden on anybody, but one of the chefs that put a lot of pressure on Alex Smith. And at that point in time, Alex Smith came out guns a-blazing, put up a ton of points, and it was like, well, are the Colts going to be able to get into this game? And sure enough, luck struck up the band, got them started. They get back into this game. It ended up being a 40-point game for both of them, in which the Colts ended up taking the win. And it was kind of like I came back to the kitchen like, see, I wanted to get my Dennis Green on and say the Chiefs are who we thought they were. You know what I'm saying? But I want to get into every scenario before I get predictions. I don't want predictions until the end of the show. Strength and weaknesses for both teams and, you know, things of that nature, injuries and things of that, you know. I just want to break this down systematically. We're only here for 60 minutes. And I apologize to everybody in Sports City. I was rattling off the beginning of this show and was going ham for that whole duration on mute. So I apologize, Sports City. But let me get into this. So first we're going to go with the visiting team, the team that won their first game in the playoffs this season in the Indianapolis Colts. And like I said, on mute, who do you post most of this blame to be, or give most of the credit? Not blame. I feel like blame is a bad way to look at it. But do you give it more to Andrew Luck and his comeback story, Marlon Mack probably being one of the success stories this season at the running back position, or do you look at it at the no-name defense of the Indianapolis Colts, who basically has been doing their work quietly in the midst of all of this, getting back into relevant talk, especially here in the postseason? So I'll ask you first, who do you pose the majority of the credit to? Nacho, I'll come to you, your thoughts on this one.
I think you'd have to put a majority of it on the quarterback and Andrew Luck, and then if you're going to take, you know, the slight lesser majority, then it has to go to Frank Wright, I think. The implications or the implication of his offense and what they've wanted to do. And then you got to put some of that onus onto the GM for going out and making sure they got the front line. Then you got to put that onus on the defensive line for stepping up in key games, in key situations. And then you got to put the onus on the secondary. I think I say all that to say this, that there is not one key component in the Colts and why they're winning. We're not going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here and blatantly point out one key fact just because I don't think I can. I think this team is right now playing as complete of a team as we can see. Again, people are going to harp on the fact that they jumped out 21-0 and coasted to a 21-7 win. Now, again, a lot of people don't like that word coast. They hate the fact that the throat was off, you know, the foot was off the throat because of the anomalies or because of the exceptions to the rule that are the 28-3 comeback in the Super Bowl, the giant comeback. Not the Giants, but the big giant comeback. I was at 30 points with that, the Oilers and the Bills way back then. Those anomalies of teams that have taken their foot off the throat and then have surrendered a huge deficit and lost the game, because we do often see teams with huge, you know, leads surrender some of the lead and keep it to then on and win the game. But to give up that lead and lose it, I just don't think we've seen a lot of that. So for me, what I saw was a team that jumped out to a huge lead, saw that they were dominating, and were able to find the key things that worked for the rest of the game without showing their hand too much because of where they had to go this week, knowing that they're the sixth seed. And because they have to keep all those tricks in the bag. So I think to me it was it's a whole team effort over there. Again, if they have another quarterback, are they in the playoffs? Probably not, and things of that nature. But, Andrew Luck, the quarterback, most important position, we got to give him some credit, obviously. The comeback, the way the numbers he's put up this year after starting 1-5, just tremendous, yes. But this whole team Mac, like we said, just everybody, all in general, the whole team is just playing at an exorbitant level over the last 10 games, now 11. So, I can't really say that this one thing is why that, you know, they've gone, 11 over their last 12 games have won. It seems that everything is clicking. The run game is going. Andrew Luck has loads of time and the most beautiful circle pockets I've seen as of late. And the defense is getting to the quarterback. The secondaries are passing deflections and intercepting footballs. And it's just everything seems to be clicking, and it's not clicking in a 4-game span or a 6-game span. It's been about, if we do it in quarters, it's been about 3 quarters of football. Yeah. 3-4 games, 12 games, they have been clicking on all cylinders. Now, again, they have a loss in there, but still, it's just, to me, you know, as we sit here and brag and boast, and the numbers seem to prove it after the 1-5 start, there's not a team that looks that good over that span, and just winning. So, yeah, to me, again, I can keep rambling on about the team in and of itself, but I just can't seem to pinpoint one thing. Again, you got to look at the coaching, the way that they've come about this season, the way that they've changed that offense around, Andrew Luck coming back and playing, Mac playing. So just everything. It's just everything to me. I can't pinpoint it.
Okay, and me either, and there's outside liars to this, and not saying liars like people lying, but like liars, like layers. But it also is a T.Y. Hilton that played through the entirety of the season. You also have a guy that I'm completely mad and angered about, but he's doing a good job and have success there in Indianapolis, being his go-to tight end in Eric Ebron and him escaping Detroit. Yeah, I got to say it like that because he didn't do well in Detroit, and now he's excelling and probably being one of the main targets for Andrew Luck. And the play of Andrew Luck probably will end up being the comeback story, like I was trying to mention in the show last week, comparison to J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson with the injury that they had to come back from. Andrew Luck is in the same situation, and him excelling is, you know, puts him probably ahead of those two guys that I just mentioned. But the defense, I mean, the way that they've been able to shut things down, especially a quality offense in the Houston Texans, holding them to 7 points at home. Like, this wasn't even in Indianapolis where they won previously in the regular season and winning that late matchup in the season. But they also went to Houston to prove that it is real, that they are not fool's gold at this point in time. So I do agree with some of the consideration going to Frank Reich and having them you know, ready for the moment, and he probably could have gave them the speech that, you know, I was in this same scenario when we played the Houston Oilers and them being down 35 points. And I, like, still till this day, what is it? It's 26 years ago. This 26 years ago that happened where Warren Moon and that run and shoot offense was going crazy, and there was no Jim Kelly, and Frank Reich was at the helm and basically led those guys back to win that game. Down 35, and that's that never say quit situation. And this is the same way I feel like he probably talked to Andrew Luck, knowing that they both played the quarterback position and kind of getting him ready for, you know, just saying there is no tomorrow and saying we have nothing to lose. And this pinnacle of a situation for them to go in the Arrowhead and take this game from them. I don't even want to say steal, because I feel like that crazy city in the valley there in Nevada is up to something. The Chiefs are favored by 5 in this matchup, so this is even crazier in itself. But I don't even know where to give the percentage to. I feel like it's all even all across the board. Andrew Luck, Frank Reich, I'm glad that you threw the coach in there so I don't even overlook him. Marlon Mack, wow, I can't wait to break him down. Or this defense, and I could talk about the receivers too like I just did with T.Y. and Eric Ebron, but Marlon Mack is probably – well, I know now the secret is out. He can't no longer run the ball in that defense. Any defense, I know what he's about to do. He, to me, and I don't want people to overlook what I'm about to say. To me, Marlon Mack is what Lawrence Maroney was to the New England Patriots in that 2007 run. And please don't overlook or overthink of what I'm about to say. Not to say that he was averaging the amount, or both of these running backs, they weren't averaging this amount, but, you know, the way that they were doing their damage, it was hurting defenses, where Brady would just say hike. He would give Lawrence Maroney the ball, and the line would just keep pushing as much as they could, and they would just pick up 9 yards, just Maroney standing behind the line and just moving that way. Like, they didn't even run through holes. They just were just moving the line, getting 9 yards. It'd be second one. It's manageable. And the defense trying to deal with the pass or the run game, and you still got Moss Welker and them to deal with. But now you got T.Y., you got Eric Ebron. These guys are making plays and catching the ball in, you know, comfortable situations. And Marlon Mack is that running back, but not saying that he's sitting behind the line and picking up yards. He's getting those holes or hitting the edge and getting 7 to 9 yards, close to 10 yards a carry, and he's hurting the defense, and that defense is staying on the field for an extended amount of time. So this is a good formula for this offense, who has always been the powerhouse of this team. I want to say before, 2000, when, you know, Peyton Manning, I was going to say Eli, Lord have mercy, but when Peyton came to the team and it basically became a mainstay, I can't believe that's almost 20 years ago. It is 20 years ago since Peyton came to the team, but that's one in itself. So this is a great matchup, and I'm going to go from one quarterback to the next, in which the Kansas City Chiefs and what Patrick Mahomes is able to do starting this season. Okay, now this is crazy in itself. He has 50 thrown touchdowns in a regular season. This was once an NFL record held by Tom Brady in that 2007 season when the Patriots ran the table, which ended up being broken by Peyton Manning in that 55 touchdown season that he had with the Denver Broncos. But in which, this is his, like, real natural starting season with no quarterback around him, right? For nobody to threaten him for his job. And this is the beginning. Like, and I'm knocking on wood right now that I hope he remains healthy. Just for the football fan in me, because if this is the beginning and he's supposed to get, quote-unquote, better, gosh, like, we could potentially see a – let's and I don't want to be, like, nasty about it, we could see like a 60-touchdown season out of this guy. Like, if everybody remains healthy and they keep some of these pieces together, Kelce keeps, you know, his promise as the or one of the top three tight ends in the league. If Tyreek keeps burning houses down, like that's what I feel like he's not burning the field up. He's burning houses down. So that speed is just ridiculous. And now they add Sammy Watkins back to this situation. Sammy Watkins is back. He practiced this week for the team, and they also add Kelvin Benjamin, and these two are back together, you know, once Buffalo Bill players as well. But and they didn't play together, obviously, but just saying that they came from the Bills organization. the one key component that's not there for the Chiefs is that running game, that, you know, the situation that happened with Kareem Hunt, and I don't want to pull up the past and everything that he got into in February in that hotel, whatever. Like he's human, he did wrong, and he's done. You know what I'm saying? They have to look past his situation. But looking how electric this offense has still been outside of what they've been able to deal with in this season, I think that their Achilles heel is their defense, because the one thing about the Chiefs, they can score, but they can give up points too. They've been scored on as well. The game that they lost to New England, it was a 43-40 matchup. So, like, it wasn't like the Chiefs weren't scoring the ball. They just couldn't stop Brady. So your thoughts on the Chiefs, especially being at home, your thoughts on what they bring to this game?
We know the Chiefs. Again, if we're going to ask that question that you just asked with the Colts, I know you didn't, but that's an evident question, and that's why you didn't ask it. And it is Patrick Mahomes. That is the clicker that has made this team go from day one. Again, does he have the star-studded talent around him offensively to go in and do what he's doing? Yes, he does. But you also need what he's got in that skill set to perform every weekend or every Sunday, Monday or Thursday. So my big thing about this is their defense, and like anything else, I mean, we've seen it time and time again and time and time again. You know, top notch offenses with low end defenses losing in the playoffs, especially if they're teams that have gotten a bye. And get some rest and, you know, rest on some laurels or whatever, however you want to, you know, go about it. I think that's always one that you know, that predicates in the back of people's minds is, you know, can this team defensively stop them when they need to? The Kansas City Chiefs go as Patrick Mahomes go. The problem with that is that defense – may let another quarterback go as much as Patrick Mahomes goes. Does that make any sense? When I say that, I mean this defense can make ordinary quarterbacks look Patrick Mahomes-like, look very, very good, very, very great, very, very elite, without overstating it. And the quarterback that they're about to face right now, we can all say is above average. He's not just a regular quarterback. So I think that's the big trepidation. I think that's the big thing. They are playing at home. They get that amazing crowd and that loud noise. And, you know, we could, if we had an Eagles or a Seahawks fan and a Chiefs fan here, they could sit here and argue back and forth about whose stadium's louder. But for my money, I'd put it on Arrowhead, which is, you know, crazy considering Seattle Chiefs to make their noise. So the crazy thing is that Arrowhead has just that aura to it. What was it? Tom Brady and them coming in with that championship flag, they laid them to it. Now I know that was in Gillette, but it just had that feel like it was, they were playing at home. And I think they took it that one game and they took that energy and they took it on the road. And I think that they have that every game. When they bring it and they bring it tough, but the problem with that is the defensive talent is just crappy. I mean, just pick any team in the middle that you want from 16 to 15, and you flip their defenses, and we're probably looking at a 16-0 team that's a 10-point favorite to 20-point favorite at home that's dominating everybody. And he probably did put up 65 touchdowns in the regular season. But the fact that he had such a horrible defense, the fact that he had to kind of hold back sometimes, you got 3-4 minutes left in the game and you don't want to go score. You can't. Even though you know you can't, because you have a defense that's going to give up 7 real quick. And I don't mean 3, I mean 7. That defense is atrocious. Now, again, they have pass rushers, D Ford, them boys up front, they can get to the pass rusher. And, of course, when you got an offense that can put a point on the board, that's all fine and dandy. But this is the playoffs. This is when it gets real. Again, the only thing I worry about on this Kansas City Chiefs team is their defense. Andy Reid, the pedigree's there. All them NFC Championship games, what he's done in Kansas City since he's been there with, you know, Alex Smith and now Patrick Mahomes, in doing what he's done, we know that offensively they're going to show up. I think the scary part is that they're not playing a very average quarterback, and that defense is quite substantially below average.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue, and this is where the show can get a little hot right now. So, Fort City, please bear with me, okay? So, calling in from Indiana, we have A-Rob, a.k.a. Anthony Robinson, here at the show. Better late than never, but I got a Colts fan in the kitchen today. Well, we're not even in the kitchen. We're outside on the corner. Well, welcome. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, it's a great day. It's a beautiful day in Indianapolis.
Okay. So I know you came in at the tail end of, you know, the Colts talk and right when we got into the Chiefs situation. So I'll allow you to talk about your boys in this situation. Who do you think gets more of the credit? Is it Luck? Is it Mac? Is it the receiving core, including Ebron? Or is it the no-name defense? I like what Nacho just threw out there. He threw out Frank Reich. Who do you think gets more of the credit on the success of this Colts team?
Well, honestly, you have to credit the whole entire organization. You have to credit Chris Ballard. Nobody mentioned him. Now, reason why I say Chris Ballard is because he literally in 2 years has taken a team that was awful and actually put together a roster that has made the playoffs into the divisional round. He has a no-name defense, as you stated. I mean, he got a steal in the draft in Darius Leonard. He got Quentin Nelson, which everybody actually made fun of him for trading back the pick. And they're like, well, what is the Colts doing? They had the third overall pick. Why would they trade the third overall pick for the sixth? He got exactly who he wanted, and he got more draft picks for last year and this year, which he made productive with his picking. We got Nyheim Hines out of last year's draft, who has been productive this year. We have Jordan Wilkes, who is the power back, who's been productive this year. He picked a lot of rookies out of that draft class. Braden Smith, the tackle, rookie. On the other side, who is comprising that, you know, awesome offensive line that the Colts have right now, who has only given up 18 sacks this whole entire year, which years before, you couldn't say that. Years before, we were giving up sacks like it was nothing and nobody was protecting Andrew Luck. And what is happening? He's getting protected. We're able to run the football. The game is in Kansas City. It is snowing. Their defense is atrocious. And what happens, Ty, when you leave a defense on the field for so long?
They get tired.
They get tired.
They get tired.
Mm-hmm. They get tired. And the Colts know how to run the football. So it's really going to come down not to just Pat Mahomes because, yes, the Chiefs can score, but you got to also remember the Chiefs score quick. So what happens in return? They leave their defense on the field a long, long time. This is playoff football. And it's snowing. You got to have a much different game plan. You got to be able to control the clock, run the football, play good defense on the back end.
Okay, so let me get this to you quickly so we can move from it. And then your thoughts on what the Chiefs present. I don't want to give predictions until the end of the show. You know, what they bring to the game. You know, is it the play of Mahomes or the receiving core? Because I really can't give too much credit to the defense because their defense gets scored on. And Kareem Hunt would have been the conversation for the running back position, but he's suspended indefinitely. And I don't want to dig too much into what he did, so I just want to get past that.
Well, it is going to come down to Mahomes because, honestly, he's the weapon. They don't have a running attack. And honestly, I think they just said whoever they're starting running back right now, he's still hurt. So he's still banged up, and they don't know if he's going to play tonight. They did get Sammy Wilkins back, so that's going to help him out a little bit. But, again, with it being, you know, snow on the ground and a little bit colder, how is that passing attack going to work and these conditions. In these conditions, you got to be able to run the football. So if they could establish something offensively by running the football wise, I mean, it's going to be a much better game. But, you know, as was stated earlier, their defense is garbage. I mean, like, their defense is pretty bad. I mean, yes, they have pass rushers, but you can only do so much with pass rushers. And if your pass rushers are constantly going upfield and getting drawled and screened and everything like that, there's no chance.
Okay, so we're going to get away from this game. The excitement is there. I'm just going to say, since I'm a Sagittarius, my birthday's in December. His birthday is 3 days before mine. Even though I don't really like him, but I do like his slogan, and I respect his style of play. In the words of Terrell Owens, get your popcorn ready. That game is one of those get your popcorn ready situations. I kind of wanted to throw a question around the kitchen, but I think I'm going to save it for the brunch, or you guys can do it quickly. But I do want to save it for tomorrow on who would you want to see win a ring the most, and Andy Reid or I was trying to do this quick. I had Andy Reid or the situation right here with Andrew Luck and his comeback situation, or the Los Angeles Chargers and Phillip Rivers and what he's facing as well. But, you know, I have that scheduled for the brunch tomorrow. Or we can answer it here and revisit it tomorrow too. But there's a lot of people that didn't get it. But the Colts have won a championship with Peyton Manning as far back as 2006, if I'm not mistaken, when they played the Bears. So they at least had one within a 15-year realm. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know whether to save it or feed the people here out here in the corner. But the next game that we do have is the Dallas Cowboys taking their talents to California up against the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I don't know which way to go with this game, because you have it's funny. You have electric offense up against powerhouse offense. You have a good defense up against a good defense. Potentially the defensive player of the year is on one of these defenses. So this is another – we are in for a treat, people. I could care less on how people look at this situation. This Saturday – forget this Saturday. All four of the games in the playoffs, which I'm saving the other two for tomorrow for the brunch, but all four of these games, forget popcorn now. I was saying popcorn with T.O. like this is wings, pizza, pasta, whatever you need to eat. Well, I'm an eater, so I don't care. I'm going to sing. I'm in the kitchen, doggone it. But let me get these guys started on this one. We'll start with the Dallas Cowboys, pros and cons. I know you feel a certain way about them, A-Rob, so I'm going to let you go last on the nacho. Your thoughts on what the Dallas Cowboys are bringing to California up against these Rams.
They're bringing a run game, and they're bringing a defense that can actually play. Now, is that a top-notch defense that I think can run through most offenses in the league? No, I don't. If we're talking about what the Dallas Cowboys bring, they bring that. What they also bring is a quarterback who, despite some over 16 games, you will see some very low lows and some very high highs. He has a very rocky season. It statistically stays up, though. But he has some bad games, and we're not going to deny that. Watching him, I can't deny it. But we also have to recognize that in the biggest games, he's lost to Aaron Rodgers, and that's it. It is what it is. This guy shows up. He throws 300-plus yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, has a huge run, gets him into field goal range, ties the game. Leaves 40-some seconds on the clock. Aaron Rodgers gets him in field goal range to win the game. There's nothing you can say wrong about anything Dak Prescott did in that game. He did everything he had to. His defense let him down, and the kicker made a 50-plus yard field goal. So in every big pressure game, I think, you know, the numbers are out there. The primetime games over the last – since he's been the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, it's what, like 14-15 comebacks, 14 primetime game wins. He shows up in the big lights when he needs to. And I think that's what they bring. They bring that it factor at the quarterback position, at the most important position. They had a lot of that other stuff over the past, you know, few years before he got there. They had a run game. They had a defense sometimes that looked really good, but they didn't have that it factor at quarterback. They also had a quarterback in Tony Romo who statistically played very, very well, holds a lot of the Cowboys franchise records, you know, and did tremendous things at the quarterback position statistically, but he didn't have that it factor. He couldn't hold the ball for the field goal kicker. He just couldn't do those things. And you don't win. Dak Prescott can do those things. And I think the biggest thing for the Dallas Cowboys this postseason is that Aaron Rodgers is at home. Other than that, they bring a lot to the table.
Did he have to squeeze the Packers in there? Did he have to? Like it's fitting. The name is Packers. He had to squeeze it. He had to do it. Okay, A-Rob, your thoughts on what the Cowboys present to the Rams?
Well, first of all, it's going to be a home game for the Cowboys. Because if people don't really understand, the Cowboys do have their training camp in California. So it's going to be a home game. So they don't have to really worry about the crowd noise-wise. Now, what it also is going to be is, will the Rams defense be able to stop Zeke Elliott? That's what the real question is going to be, because I can see Zeke possibly going for over 120 yards today. Once he gets started and they don't actually stop him, I can see him actually going for 120. Now, with Dak and his receivers, I can see them, you know, getting a lot of chunk yards too with their play action passing attack. But it's also going to be, you know, with the Rams having that week off and they're more of a, you know, like a clicking offense, like they have to, you know, just be moving. It's going to be interesting with that bye in there to see if the Rams are going to be clicking like they were before they started to go downhill. So it's really going to be interesting, but I think, you know, with that Cowboys defense, I think that defense alone is going to be able to make some plays and actually get a lot of stuff done to Jared Goff and confuse him a little bit. So it just, you know, it's really going to be, can the Cowboys are going to have a home game. I think they're going to be able to run the football just fine. And if Gurley plays today, I think that's going to help the Rams out a lot more. But
Just the Cowboys. No, we're going to get into that pot. Let it boil. Let that pot boil, please.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just going to depend on how the Cowboys come out and which Cowboys team shows up today. That's what it really is going to come down to.
Okay, so for me, I think the key component for the Cowboys today is Dak, because Zeke is a given. Now, I don't care what you say. When I think of the star, I think of 21 and how you have to try and stop him. Because he is the one that gets that offense moving. If the Rams slow him down, it could be a tough situation for the Cowboys to get this offense moving with Dak. Like if Dak can actually work without Zeke, that's impressive. And not to say that he can't, because he's a mobile quarterback, and it's hard to get to a guy that is willing and able to move. I think the problem is with Dak right now that he's settling, staying in the pocket, and not threatening the defense that he's going to take off. Because if he takes off, that's another key component. He's a running back that can make things happen, and he can throw the ball. Not to say that he's one of the best or efficient passers, but I think that's why he chooses to throw the short yardage pass. But I literally think that if Dak comes out impressive, I think the Cowboys can steal this game. Because I will admit that this is a steal if they can go into California and get this done. Their defense has been playing impressive, especially their front seven. Their front seven has been able to create enough pressure, and the linebackers have been doing their job as much as possible to save those corners in that secondary, because, to be honest, Dallas' secondary isn't that great. I mean, they're doing just enough to keep things in front of them, but they are deceptive for big plays, and things have been happening like that throughout the entirety of the season where the Cowboys have been giving up the big play, especially up against quality receivers. And you're having quality receivers in this game like Woods and such. It sucks that the Rams have to play this season without Cooper Kupp and Cooper Kupp's injury, you know, for the remainder of the season, because he was a key component in that offense in itself. But And I feel like I said, I was telling A-Rob to get out that pot. I'm getting that pot as well. I'm taste testing, excuse me. So, but I really think that this is all in Dak's lap. Like, and I feel bad in saying this, even though I'm nowhere near a Cowboys fan. Like, I can't stand them. But watching Aikman have to eat his words, because Aikman was talking bad about Dak earlier this season. And then when Dak got these guys in playoff contention and they won that first game, he started saying, well, he's everything that you want in a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, wait, Troy Aikman, you had to eat your words? Like, it was just funny and fitting to hear him say that. So I know that a lot of this is in the lap of Dak Prescott to go in there and be at the best of his ability up against this Los Angeles Rams team. I know that the Cowboys are in a tough situation with watching Allen Hurns, who I love dearly because he's a Hurricane, and you know me, I watch all four of his years in college. Watch his season come to an end with that catastrophic break that he had in that game. I literally stood up and walked away from the screen when they showed the replay, because when he rolled over, I really didn't see his foot up there like dangling until they showed the replay. Then I seen it, and it was like that is one of those disgusting Alex Smith, Paul George, Joe Theismann, you know, type of plays. And like I said, Zeke is a given in this situation. The offensive line is a given in this situation. I really think that this is in Dak's lap to get the job done. Other than that, like I said, the givens are the key components of the game as well. So it kind of goes hand in hand. If Dak is impressive, I think Dallas can go in here and steal this game. Now I'm going to go into that pot because it's looking at both of these teams that were in Missouri together at that one time when they were the St. Louis Rams, but the Kansas City Chiefs, they both have this offense that can go out there and do work. They had two running backs that were hitting home runs, but Kareem Hunt is no longer there no more for the Chiefs. And right now Cooper Kupp is not there for the Rams as well. So they both have players that are out for the season as well on that offense. I don't even know where to begin on this situation because you have another young star quarterback in Goff, who I thought would be the MVP, but I think he's kind of fallen out of contention. Todd Gurley, another MVP candidate, I think he's kind of fallen out of contention as well. This defense, basically, I see an S on his chest, and they're behind him, you know, and the S on his chest being Aaron Donald. And before they actually even put the footage out of him working out, you know, recently on ESPN, I was watching his routine and his workout on how he works out to prepare for these NFL players. You have to double team him, period. Not one guy is going to block him because he's shorter than your average defensive tackle. And he just is stout and short to the ground to get underneath these 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 300-pound linemen and get them off of their feet. Like, he has the same strength that Khalil Mack has to get these guys off of their feet and put them on their back. He has that. He presents that. This is the interesting thing that I see with Aaron Donald is if Dallas is in a situation where they have to punt, if Dak isn't doing his dink, like I have fun with this one, if he isn't doing his dink and Dak situation, if he isn't getting the ball away early, I think they can get to him. He is mobile, but Aaron Donald gets back there fast enough, and this is where I put a lot of pressure on one guy that I've known since his rookie season, and he's been a no-show to me this season for this defense, and that's Ndamukong Suh. It really has been, he's been the filler toward this defense, and they add, you know, guys like Fowler and such in the storm of this defense. But if he can get back there and meet Aaron Donald back there, whether it's in the run game and slowing Zeke down and being able to create the presence with the front four, or getting to Dak before Dak can get the ball out and get in, I think this could potentially help the Rams in this situation. But I don't know whether to look at this stout front Rams defense or if I look at Gurley, because Gurley was limited early in the week. He was full practice as of Thursday, so hopefully he doesn't look rusty or has that chink in the armor. Or just looking at this offense in its entirety, I'll throw this one around the kitchen. Nacho, your thoughts on the Rams and what they present as a threat to the Dallas Cowboys?
High-powered offense that can still run the ball. You know, I stumbled over my words here. the Todd Gurley situation, Andrew Whitworth, I believe they're both going to play. That's what I've been reading. That's what I've been seeing. So I don't fear that either of them will not start. I think the fear is, will they play the whole game and how effective will they be, more or less so towards the Todd Gurley. Now, I know they've got – it's C.J. Anderson, correct? That's their backup running back. So I know that we've seen him run in Denver. He's not a pushover. He's definitely no Todd Gurley. But to get what they need done in one game, I think he could suffice if Todd Gurley ends up re-aggravating or something of that nature. But what that could lack, that passing attack could also make up for. I know the injury to Cooper Kupp, like you mentioned a little earlier, has had some problems. Has made them face some problems, but it still then I don't think destroyed the offense, or not necessarily destroyed, but hindered the offense to a worse degree than I think it's been. They have been stated in a lot of things. I think the Cooper Kupp injury. It's just another cog in the engine, and they seem to plug and play over there. Reynolds fills in. All those guys' names. There's so many I can't remember them, kind of sort of thing. But those guys, they end up filling the right role. So they end up bringing everything. And then of course we can talk about the defense and how amazing the names are. I think the one thing that needs to be discussed about their defense and all the positives is the one negative. They give up lots of rushing yards. I think it's 5-something per rush. And I think that's the biggest thing we got going. Now, when we get into the game and who they're facing, we'll talk why that's a huge deal, especially now that, you know, the way Ty thinks of the Dallas Cowboys. So the thing about that is if they get into a situation where the other team is in a necessity to run the ball to keep a lead or to run out clock, it seems to me as if that Rams defense might get run off the field. But, of course, if that Rams offense is putting up points and you know, the other team has to fling it, then we're in a different ball game. But, I think that's what we're looking at when we talk about the Rams. They bring a lot of great things. You talk a lot of positives about the offense. And you talk, you know, a lot of positives about the defense and what they bring and how Aaron Donald might be the MVP candidate. But other than that, I think that, you got to look at the lack of being able to stop the run, especially up the middle. So other than that, I think they bring a lot of good things to the game. And then, we'll get into who they're playing and why the one thing that I think is their weakness could hurt them.
Okay, hey Rob, your thoughts before I get back at Nacho. I want to see how he says I feel about the Cowboys, but your thoughts on the Rams as they come toward their first, I guess, 50-50 game. I can't even really say home game because you're right that a lot of the Rams fans don't fill that stadium up the way that they need to. But your thoughts on the way that they threaten the Cowboys being one of the hottest teams throughout this season?
Well, I mean, as was stated earlier, you know, the Rams do have a very prolific offense. You know, even with, you know, Cooper Kupp going down and everything like that, they were still productive. They were still hitting all cylinders. The defense itself, you know, with Aaron Donald in the middle creating a bunch of havoc, it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with him, because he's definitely a difference maker on the other side of the ball. And he was definitely worth the money that they paid for him. And he had every right to sit out, because he has completely shown that, honestly, I don't think without him, they probably wouldn't be as a good defense as they are now. I mean, even though the names on the other side of the ball, on the defensive side, are there, like, he literally changes the game. I mean, he can push a double team back three yards right into the quarterback's lap if he needs to. He can get a strip fumble. He can get a sack. He can do everything, and it's all from the A and the B gap. It's not from the outside. He's doing this all up the middle. So it's like,
He's going to disrupt the game, but how is he going to disrupt it? And it really is going to come down to, you know, the back end to just cover. All you got to do is just cover your person and let Aaron Donald go to work. And it's also going to come down to, you know, Jared Goff, you know, of course, putting points on the board. You know, if Gurley, you know, plays like he usually plays, but, you know, they're going to bring in C.J. Anderson because Gurley hasn't been healthy all week. So the running game is going to have to be there. The air attack is going to have to be there. And Aaron Donald's just going to have to do what he has to do.
Okay, so here we go. We are at the tail end of the show. And let's get to the first game. I have to save you for last, A-Rob. So, Nato, your thoughts on this game, the Colts heading into Arrowhead. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck. I called it last week. I think the winner of that game would go on to win the Super Bowl. I'm running with it still, Andrew Luck, in that Colts. I think the big provocation for the Kansas City Chiefs is that they're facing Andrew Luck. As great as a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes is, as great as an offense as they have, I have the hugest assumption that Andrew Luck and that offense will be on the field last with an opportunity to win that game, and they will do so because that defense just cannot hold them. I take the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck, and Frank Reich to go ahead and win 31-24 late there in the fourth quarter to pull off that victory and go on to the AFC Championship game.
I am at a toss-up with this one. This is so tough, man, because the Chiefs' defense has not been able to stop anybody. I feel like getting my Bart Scott on. They ain't been able to stop a nosebleed. But in Arrowhead, this is a different beast. This is like – just like Nacho said about the Seahawks where, you know, it's like the Seahawks create their noise, you know, like they're already loud, but they have the speaker system to get them even louder. So I understand where he's coming from with that. That's why I had to laugh at it, but it's true. But you know what? I don't want to see them go. Like, I'm going to say Chiefs. I'm going to do it because this offense did too much damage this year just to be not even just one and done. This is like just show up for the rehearsal and then they're done. Like, especially watching Patrick Mahomes show the art of him doing a no-look pass, like, that's basketball. Like, he's playing football and playing basketball. Like how? How do you defend that? Like, that's just nutty. And he ain't even, like, totally in tune and knowing all of the defense. Like, if he could really pick you apart and not look at his receiver like that, and y'all thinking he going one way and he going up top like that, and if it's Tyreek, like, Lord have mercy. Like, that's a problem. That is a problem. Chiefs, I think this is going to be close, though. I don't think the Chiefs cover. I think this will probably be a three-point game. I'm going to go 34-31. I think this is going to be one of those type of games. But I'm going to give the Chiefs the edge. And the reason why I said that, no, I'm not even going to do it. I was going to say why I wanted to see Reed get it, but I'm going to save that for tomorrow. I'm already giving up my answer on how I'm going to present things for tomorrow. So, A-Rob, I'll leave it to you. I know you're a Colts guy. I know you're going to go with Colts. I'm going to write Colts as well. Just tell me why.
Well, Ty, let me first say this. You know, the Chiefs have lost the last six games in the playoffs at Arrowhead. The Chiefs only have two wins in the last 30-plus years in the playoffs at Arrowhead. There's one team in the NFL that matches that, and that is the Indianapolis Colts. I've been into Arrowhead and have won in a playoff game at Arrowhead. In the snow, in the rain, in great weather, they have won, and they're going to win today. Reason why? That defense is atrocious. That defense is going to be on the field for at least 30 minutes this game. The running game for the Colts is going to put up at least 140. T.Y. is going to do what he does. And Andrew Luck is going to get at least two touchdown passes in this game. The score is going to be 31-14. Mark my words, the Colts are going to go in and going to take care of business. The defense for the Colts is going to take care of Mahomes and bottle him up, keep everything in front of them. They're going to get Kelce under lock. They're going to get Hill under lock, and they're going to destroy the running game. So he's going to be forced to throw the ball. Time of possession is going to lead in favor of the Colts. The Colts are going to be on the field the longest that you've probably ever seen. They're going to go up and down the field and actually control the game like they did when they went to Houston, and going to run the football up Kansas City's defenses, you know what.
You're saying blowout, really? 31-14, okay. Fair enough. I will leave it right where it is. Okay. I wrote that score. Nacho, what score did you have for the Colts? I wrote his score down. I might as well write your score down, too. What score did you have for the Colts winning this game?
31-24.
All right, at least within reason. Okay, one possession. 31-14, if he called this one right, I got to salute him. I got to give him credit. Okay, so I'm coming right back to you, A-Rob. Your thoughts on the nightcapper, the Cowboys taking their talents to California. Who wins this game and why?
Honestly, I think the Cowboys are going to win this game. And the reason why I say that is because you hear it all the time with these prolific offenses. They're always clicking. They're on a rhythm. They're rhythm-based offenses. If you get, that week off, it kind of hurts production a little bit. So the Rams are going to be slow coming out the break. The Cowboys played last week. So Zeke is still going to be able to, get a good rushing game going. But I think the Rams' offense is going to come out slow. And I think that's going to end up hurting them in the end run with the score being 24-21 Cowboys.
Give me the score again. Cowboys, how much?
24-21.
Okay. Mr. Silva, who do you like in this matchup and why? If you want to give a score, I'll write this down too, since he's got this going on an interesting score. And it's fitting that A-Rob go Colts and Cowboys, and he know why that I'm smiling right now too.
disclaimer. If you're a Giants fan, a Redskins fan, or an Eagles fan, avert your ears. Cowboys roll the L.A. Rams 31-17. Ezekiel Elliott, double fist, eaten all game, 200 yards, two touchdowns. They are going to dominate running the ball. Ezekiel Elliott cannot be stopped. That man is a man among men, and it is outrageous that this defense, with all those names and that big guy up in the middle who's MVP, and they cannot stop the run. Again, they cannot stop the run. They're not playing in snow. They're not playing in rain. They're not playing in sleet. They're playing in Los Angeles. They are going to run all day and run to the NFC Championship game. It's going to be the worst thing for all of America, but it is true. For everything that the guy beside that A-Rob has said, the consistency, getting that week off, those timing-based offenses, not being in rhythm, that's going to hurt them. And then the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, to me, don't have a rhythm offense. It's feed, scramble, make a nice pass, or run with Dak Prescott. And get the first down. And he makes the great reads, and he knows how to get off the pocket and do his thing as Dak Prescott. So they end up getting, the first down or whatever they need. This game, though, I do not foresee very many third downs and longs. I don't see this defense in L.A. being able to pin their ears back and try to go after Dak Prescott. I just see a team in Dallas sorry, Ty, who's just happy daddy's at home, and they're going to roll the L.A. Rams.
well, I gotta be off against the races on these guys. I'm going with the Rams at home. I feel like this is going to probably be another offensive showing. As much as I love to give credit to Aaron Donald and what he's able to do defensively, I really don't feel like he can stop everything, but I feel like he could have an imprint in this game and probably come up with a key sack. I'm going to go with a 31-27 game. I'll go 31-27 in favor of the Rams. I feel like I don't want to see these two, the way that both of these teams came out of the gate, I don't want to see these guys fall short. But we've seen this happen to this Cowboys team that was just 2 or 3 years ago when they lost to the Packers. When they started the season out 13-3, went to the playoffs, and the Packers came in there, went to overtime, and Rodgers made that throw to Jared Cook, toe tapper, and that was the end of the season for the Cowboys. This situation could happen to both of these teams, but I don't think that situation happens here. I feel like McVay has his team prepared and ready, and Andy Reid's been through everything. Andy Reid's been through everything. So I'm going to go 31-27. I feel like everything is in line for the Rams, and they have to find another receiver to step up with the loss of Allen Hurns as well. I know that they have Beasley underneath. I know that they have, you know, threats on the outside as well, but I feel like the Rams have this game at home. Okay, so we are going to come out with closeout. I want to see how you guys close out this show. Interesting stuff. Hey, Rob, I'll come to you first. Give me your plug. Close out anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the corner.
Well, as everybody knows me, you know, I'm A. Rob. I'm back in the kitchen, you know, slicing up some sauteed onions for Ty because he don't want to smell it. But, yeah, I'm on all social media. You know, you can find me wherever you want to. And let's go Colts.
Okay. And Nacho, give me a plug. Close out anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here on the corner.
Oh, again, great show. I'm excited. I don't know how the brunch is going to go tomorrow, but I hope that we get a call from Roger. He's at the New Orleans, right? He's in Louisiana, correct?
Wait, repeat that, please.
Roger's in New Orleans, right?
Yes, he's at the game, but he will be here tomorrow.
Exactly. That's what I was going to hope for. Perfect. I can't wait to hear from Roger tomorrow. And I can't wait to come back in tomorrow and talk about those games. Not only that, the games today going to be fun, going to be great. Playoffs, man, like Ezekiel Elliott, playoff time, you got to two-hand eat in the playoffs. It's fun. It's fun to watch. Great games ahead. I am going to enjoy today and then, you know, come back in tomorrow, hopefully full. With a full belly, get a good plate of dessert for that Sunday brunch, maybe a few mimosas, you know, get a little nice and tipsy in here and make some more outlandish calls. Other than that, man, great show at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Again, I am very sorry for my late game pick, America. I had to do it. I feel it. It just sucks. I know we're going to have to deal with that fan base again. Nothing against that team in general and those players on that team. They just play for that star. But that fan base, you chose it for a reason. We're going to have to deal with it for another week. But after that, man, hopefully we'll see. Again, thank you, Ty. Thank you, A-Rob. And then I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
And wait, before we go, right, is that fight next week or today? And Pacquiao, I think it's next week, and I'm looking for it. And it is next week. Okay, I'm making sure I had to get that right. I didn't want to have to get the prediction on the fight, so I'll save that for next week as well. So, thank you for that, Renato. I was looking at that at the same time. So, SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, 11 in the morning, getting the brunch together. Hopefully, I got the edge on these guys too, or they'll have the edge on me too. Nothing, one way or another. Somebody going to be 0-2, somebody going to be 2-0. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
focus of bold. Got cousins with clothes, hope they open to